Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast
with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. We got the Drunk History Jim Everett up. We'll have another Drunk History for June, as always, before I get out of here for the Disney vacation with my whole entire family. It's going to be wonderful. Andrew, what is our rule? Dave, what is our rule about Saints news after the draft and before training camp starts? It's... if we have it, it's always fucking terrible. That is the law. That is the rule. It is 100% undefeated forever. It is the 72 Dolphins of Saints rules on the podcast, and it's a true again. After the draft, we had major Saints news. It's Mark Ingram getting suspended.
Dave's boyfriend, I might add.
Dave, your boyfriend. He's on thin ice now, Dave, because he's in the last year of his contract. He got suspended for four games.
He's
28. Are you worried that this might be the end for you and Mr. Ingram as a couple?
No. I'm fairly certain he's going to serve his suspension and, you know, maybe get it reduced to three games or two games, if that's even possible.
You know that's coming. You know it's going from four to three. I mean, that's that's like what happens to every guy, I feel like.
Yeah, his is weird because they said he had an exemption and then he failed the test after the year or something. It's a very bizarre situation, you know. He didn't come out and make the blanket apology. I'm sorry. He didn't do the I was driving all night and I needed a caffeine pill from my boy. Like, he didn't use the Andrew, you know, like our what's our list
the
of
Adderall.
Like
go
yeah, the Adderall like the go-to excuses, yeah. You know. So, but
which Kenny Vaccaro, by the way, went to. I mean, so fast.
Garrett Hartley used that one too, right?
Yep.
Who was another one?
Every Seattle Seahawk.
right now. It's like they have the, I guess at the market where they buy the fresh fish, they like the guy tosses them a fish and a bottle of Adderall. Andrew, I'm not really worried about the Ingram suspension, and I'm kind of excited about it because I'm ready for all the terrible let's trade Ingram hot takes after one Boston Scott 15-yard preseason carry.
Well, I feel like it's not Boston Scott. Right now, I mean, this is a sign of the times, but you look at Twitter and you look at just in general what Saints fans are talking about, and it's all Jonathan Williams, the running back they got from the Bills. Yeah. And JT Barrett of Ohio State.
We'll get to JT Barrett in a second. He's not going to play running
back. I have a coworker who's a big Bills fan, and Jonathan Williams played for them. And so I asked him, I was like, what's the deal with this dude? Is he any good? And he had one comment about Jonathan Williams. He can get you a yard.
He can get you a yard. If you need a yard, he'll get you a yard every time.
Yeah, yeah. He'll get you a yard.
If you need two, he'll get you a yard. But I mean, I think they probably need to trade Ingram tonight and get a fifth round pick and move it along and just be done. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, I think people like Saints fans in general, they don't really like Mark Ingram except for Dave. Like, mostly Saints fans in general.
I feel like he's won people over.
Last
year was definitely a turning point.
But I feel like they'll turn against him fast, Dave. You don't
he
think...
did go to Bama.
He did. I mean, that's
probably,
it.
Probably accurate.
I mean, the thing is with the Saints fans is with Mark Ingram, the only thing more ridiculous Dave, than my trade Ingram tonight, get a fifth-round pick, move it along, and make Boston Scott and Kumar the backfield of the future. The only thing more ridiculous than that take is the bring back Adrian Peterson rumors slash news. It's the worst reunion idea since TNT brought back 175-year-old J.R. Ewing and rebooted Dallas like 5 years
ago. Is it a worse idea than bringing back Roman Harper?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, bringing back Adrian Peterson.
Ooh. Yes, because Roman Harper, because if you, when you brought back Roman Harper, we were like, he's not really going to play. He's just going to be like ceremonial goodbye season. And then like injuries killed him and they had to play him, right? If they bring back Adrian Peterson, like, you know, he's getting carries the first month of the year, Andrew, and he's fucking done as a player. Like,
I don't know. He looked pretty good for the Cardinals.
Oh, that dude, Earl Campbell at like 30 had one good game for the Saints back in the day. Like, that was it.
But, but wouldn't it be worth it if we had one good game out of him?
Didn't he get injured?
He did.
He only needs to play 4 before we cut him.
I know, but didn't he get injured and end the season with an injury? Like,
he did.
He's going to come back from whatever injury.
He's got a serious – I forget what it was, but he's got
no, here is my thing, and this I mean, is –
if you thought
only...
he looked bad last year, he's got another injury that he needs to come back from. So how bad is he going to be then?
But it was like a neck injury. Who cares? That's no, I'm just kidding. It wasn't like his legs. You know, it wasn't his knee. But
I don't remember what it was. It doesn't even matter.
I think it was a neck thing. But anyway, my thing – the reason it's really appealing to me is that, you know, Kevin –
this is appealing to you?
Yeah. But let me explain myself.
Are you shitting me?
Kevin Helders.
Let me talk.
Go.
There is nothing you're going to say here that is going to change anybody's
Kevin,
mind.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm
Kevin
open to this. Go.
despises Adrian Peterson.
Yes, he does.
He was disgusted when the Saints – he was so disgusted he stopped doing the podcast. He stopped watching the games, right?
Yeah.
Well, he used it as an excuse to stop
But if there's
the
one thing Kevin loves – it's draft picks.
It is.
He wants to trade down. He wants draft picks on draft picks on draft picks. And if the Saints had Adrian Peterson for 4 games, he'd look kind of decent. And then when Mark Ingram comes back, they trade him again for a draft pick. I don't care how bad of a pick it is. Let's say 7th round pick. That would mean that Adrian Peterson had been flipped by the Saints 2 years in a row for draft picks. And that would be hilarious. That would be the ultimate conundrum for Kevin, who hates Adrian Peterson, doesn't want him signed, but then he scores 2 draft picks for the Saints. Huh?
I like that. You know, Andrew, I'm totally for that scenario, and I think the Saints, since they play the Browns the second week, and the Browns will probably be terrible, and Greg Williams' defense always gets gashed for us to run a lot of times, they should feature Adrian Peterson the second week. Give him like 20-25 carries for like a, he can run for like a $120, and then the Saints can flip him,
trade him the next day
to a desperate sorry ass team like the Dolphins for like a 4th round pick. Or they could treat him to the Browns. The Browns would be like, he was so good against us, man. He can be the bridge to the next running back that we draft that's terrible. And Andrew, I love that idea. I'm for it. I think it's a great also Kevin's head would literally explode and Saints Twitter would just be like beside themselves and America could mock the Browns again. I that scenario that we just put together, it brings a tear to my eye and it's a tear of joy.
I hope Kevin's listening to this, and Dave, I'm going to take by your silence. You haven't said it. You haven't shot this down. I think you might. I might have won you over.
Oh, I tuned you out 5 minutes ago.
Nice.
But on a deeper thing, if people didn't listen to the quick shot, Andrew, like, what's your feeling of how it's going to play out with Ingram? Do you think that they're just going to be like, Kamara, you're going to be the man for 4 weeks, and we're going to up your carries and touches and that sort of thing.
When are you gonna pronounce his name correctly? It's Kamara.
Kamara. Kamara.
Yeah, there you go. It's Kamara.
Kamara, like Kamara. I can't.
He's gonna be the best player on the Saints in like a year or two. So you need to start getting this right. But
probably.
But Kamara, I think, yeah, I mean, Sean Payton's like, it would be imprudent to give him 15 more touches a game or whatever. They're definitely going to lean on him. I don't know that they'll go like full Le'Veon Bell where he's touching 25, 30 balls a game, but there's definitely going to be a big uptick for him. But I still think there's an opportunity for someone to get 5 to 10 touches, and whether that's Lasko, Jonathan Williams, Boston Scott, Trey Edmonds, any of those guys. I mean, I would say currently Trey Edmonds is probably the favorite, just because he made the team last year and he looked really good in the regular season against the Bills, who quit, so it didn't mean much. But you know, those guys, I mean, they're all no names, and there's a huge opportunity, and it's the first four games of the season. And honestly, it's one of those things where, like, if you play awesome, I mean, that's the NFL. There's no guarantees that Mark Ingram has his job back, you know, when his suspension is over. I mean, probably none of these guys are going to be as good as Ingram, but, you know, how do you bench Trey Edmonds if he gives you 80 yards rushing on average through 4 weeks? How do you then bench him?
Dave, that 800 comment thread of trade Ingram, Edmonds / Boston Scott, whoever is the answer, is going to just be phenomenal. But Dave, if I said to you, pick to me right now without seeing anyone, knowing nothing except for minicamp and who they drafted, pick for me the running back that you think will get carries along with Kamara.
What round was Boston Scott drafted in?
Six.
I guess probably either Edmonds or Williams. I mean, they both have experience. How much experience did Williams have in Buffalo?
I don't know.
He's had like 30 carries.
Yeah, I mean, probably him.
I say it's going to be I think Scott.
I don't know. Sixth round, that's like taking a flyer on a guy. That's like, he might work out, he might not. You never know.
He's like a Sproles, though. He's like 5'7" or something.
Oh, Scott. He's adorable. He's going to be like...
But that's not what they need, though. They have that shiftiness, you know, change of pace back with Kamara. They need somebody to replace Ingram. They need a power guy.
Yeah, that's why I think Edmonds is the guy. Maybe Williams.
I mean, they got Mike. The yards out of Mike Bell. Remember Lionel Hamilton?
He
was going to be the guy. He was going to have a role until he blew out his knee in the preseason. Yeah. In what was it, 2010? Right. So I mean, like.
I mean, I remember Lionel Hamilton, but I can't believe you guys remember all that.
Let's stop posturing. We all know it's going to be JT Barrett or Taysom Hill.
they heard the sound effect of, you guys didn't, but they heard it, of the hype train coming on through. And the hype train for minicamp for JT Barrett, he is the answer at quarterback. I saw two plays where he hit Traquan Smith. Beautiful passes, Andrew, just beautiful. And I think he's the long-term answer at quarterback. I think he's amazing. I think they're probably going to put in a wildcat package for him. I think probably by week six he's going to be.
If he makes the team.
He's making the team. Did you see those mini camp throws? They were like darts, man, like darts. How good?
I didn't think they were that great. I don't know. I mean, I know I saw the video. I saw people hyping it up, but I watched his throws. I don't know.
Which preseason game should we give him the $100 million contract after?
I mean,
after the fourth one, when he plays like the whole game.
Okay.
You know, when all the starters sit and he gets to play like three quarters and has like three touchdowns.
I mean,
better lock him up.
What? How good is JT Barrett going to have to play to murder the Taysom Hill hype and it becomes the JT Barrett hype train?
I mean, we haven't even seen Taysom Hill throw yet, have we?
I mean, it's really...
We've only seen tackle bitches. Unbelievable.
I mean, it's whoever throws the first touchdown pass in preseason. I feel like it's wide open. And whichever one of the two throws the first touchdown, that's it. He's the next Fran Tarkenton.
But if JT Barrett, like, runs for a 50-yard touchdown, does that count?
Oh, absolutely.
People were like slow-moing Marcus Davenport off the edge in some videos I saw, and like zooming in on him. It was amazing. The hype that people give.
Brian Baldinger was doing that.
But seriously, Andrew, as you're how do you feel about back? I mean, we joke about it. They got Barrett, they got Hill, they got Savage. Like, not that backup quarterback, look, if they play more than 3 weeks, the Saints are fucked anyway. But, like, if the Saints need a dude for, like, a week, how are you feeling about backup quarterback on May 14th?
I think Savage is trash. I think Barrett is trash. So, Taysom Hill is going to have to be half as good as Sean Payton says he might be, or backup quarterback's a real problem.
What, hey Dave, what old quarterbacks are out there that, like, the Saints could go get if they, like, if it's, like, mid-August and they've played, like, two preseason games and it's just a dumpster fire at backup quarterback? Like,
I mean, you know, I feel like in that situation you're going to go with familiarity. Is Josh McCown still available or no?
Oh, my God.
Luke McCown is officially retired.
I mean, Luke McCown, yeah, sorry, Luke. Oh, he just decided to retire.
Yeah.
You didn't see that, Dave?
I vaguely remember that. How about Jay Cutler? Let's get Jay Cutler in here.
No, oh, my God.
He's not coming to be a backup.
Oh, to play backup? Oh, I thought you were talking about Drew Brees.
No.
Oh, to do backup?
I'm talking about, like, it's mid-August.
What's
and, like,
Mark,
the backup
what's Mark,
quarterbacks
what's Mark Brunell doing these days?
He's
he probably needs the money,
he's
huh?
He's like 50.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding.
Tony Romo?
No, Tony Romo is definitely he's firmly planted in the broadcasting life.
They could give
now.
The Bears a conditional pick to get Chase Daniel back.
I still think Romo could come if
get the hell out of here.
I think him and Sean Payton are boys, and if something happened to Brees,
you
I
are
think,
out of your cotton picking mind.
I'm not saying he would do it. But I think the first call that Peyton would make, if Brees was out for the year and the Saints were, let's say, 7-2 and had a chance at a Super Bowl run or whatever, I think the first call would be to Romo and at least say, hey, would you have any interest in leading this team? I still believe that.
No, I don't. No, he's
– Does he have a contract with
yeah,
CBS?
That last year. Last year he'd have done that, Andrew. I think this year he's like a year into it, and he's like a fucking star on TV.
Well, then the alternative is like Mark Sanchez or
the Sanchez. Like, my wife would be
excited. Or like Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel could run around and his Instagram.
Oh, Kaepernick, I guess.
Oh, they could.
That's never happening.
Andrew, no. I like this idea. Go with me. Saints quarterbacks are backup quarterbacks are trash, and midway through training camp, the Saints have tryout day. They bring in Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow, and Colin Kaepernick, and they break ProFootballTalk.com and Twitter simultaneously. Tell me that wouldn't be amazing.
I'm here for it.
I mean, can you, dude? And not only that.
What good would it be? You wouldn't be able to go on Twitter to talk about it.
No,
you'd be sitting there by yourself. You'd have
the whale from Twitter would be on there.
First of all, Ralph, you'd have to actually then work, I guess, if you couldn't go on Twitter all day.
That's true.
And then you'd be just there excited all by yourself. You'd have to text Andrew.
We'd have a group text. We'd loop you in.
We would do seven quick shots in a row.
I think if that happened, it might knock down cell service too.
And ESPN would just set up camp on airline, like First Take, ESPN and the morning sports center, that horrible morning show they do with Greenberg and Jalen Rose and the weird looking blonde haired woman. Mike and Mike, like it would be amazing. It would probably be such a big news story. Like it would be on like CNN.com. It would like break through like out of the sports realm and like go to like regular news.
And now that gambling is legal, we can gamble on which one of them was going to make the team.
I was going to get to that, Dave.
But no, I mean, seriously, can you imagine, like, if Sean Payton was trying to troll himself or something, or Mickey Loomis wanted to make Sean Payton's day just awful, he would bring in Tebow, Manziel, and Kaepernick for a workout. And I mean, can you imagine the media frenzy and just, like, it would be Sean Payton's hell.
It would be. They'd have to credential, like, 300
people.
It'd
be a great April Fool's joke.
How many people would they credential, you think? Like 300? 350?
Two.
I mean, I feel like there'd be sports reporters in China putting in requests.
No, I mean, look, but I mean, it. All joking aside, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility, do you think, that that the Saints would make a move at backup quarterback if it looked terrible? Like, Andrew, like, how terrible would it have to look, you think, for them to make a move?
I mean, it's not like it ever looked that good with Chase Daniel, you know?
That's true.
I mean, Luke McCown had his moments in preseason, but I never felt super
and
secure.
And against the Panthers.
He did, yeah. But so, like, I felt okay. I remember feeling okay about Luke McCown. But, like, there was really not much that Chase Daniel ever did in a preseason game that ever made me feel good about him being the backup quarterback, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is, like, the thing that's funny is if Luke McCown was still healthy, like, he would still be the Saints' backup quarterback if he wanted to off of the one game in Carolina. You know?
Yep.
I think they like Taysom Hill, man. I really think he's the guy.
You know it's going to – that's when you know it's going really bad for Taysom Hill, like, in the fourth preseason game when they've put him back on special teams. Like, that's when you know, like, the Taysom Hill dream is officially over. But Dave brought up another thing that we need to talk about. The Supreme Court – basically,
yeah, today was probably like Christmas for Ralph.
It was like, here's the thing, like, they've made it legal for any state to do sports gambling, and here's the thing, like, in
that's
got to
be really bad for Vegas, right?
No, I think well, possibly, but I think, like, I think people go to Vegas as, like, they don't just go to Vegas for sports gambling. I think they go to Vegas for a whole number of reasons. But the thing that's going to make it interesting is...
I mean, I don't think any city is going to put together an entire street of casino after casino after casino like Vegas has. I mean...
No, but the thing that I think is going to be interesting is in Europe, teams partner up with, like, the betting houses like Ladbrokes and Paddy... I think it's called Paddy Power. Like, Everton, like, partners up, and they have kiosks with their official gambling partner at their stadium. And they always tweet out, like, before the game, they're like, Everton is 4-1 odds to win today. Make a bet at kiosks at gates this, this, and this before you sitting at the game. So, like, I think in 5 years, like, they're going to have kiosks, like, in Champion Square and, like, at the Dome where, like, you can make a fucking bet on game day and bet the Saints Falcons and then go sit in your seat. Like, that's going to happen, and the team's going to get a cut, the NFL's going to get a cut, and the state's going to get a cut. And everybody's going to make money, and everybody's going to be happy, except for the degenerates who are homeless.
My thing about Vegas is it's not so much the people won't go anymore and they won't go into the casinos and gamble, but, like, there is a whole novelty thing to betting on when you're in Vegas – betting on your favorite team to win the Super Bowl or whatever, and, like, people won't do that anymore. So, like, bookies or whatever, I guess it's what it's casinos, the sports part of the casino that runs that, like, they just won't get as many as of those bets because people will make them elsewhere, and there won't be this whole novelty behind it.
Yeah, like the prop bets, the futures bets, like you can go down.
You could do that anywhere now. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
But so it's less exciting when you're in Vegas to do that. People will be like, I can do that when I'm home. I'll just, you
know,
stay at the craft table.
I mean, I'd be curious
whatever.
To know, like, what percentage of the books in Vegas, like, what percentage of that is there are people making bets? You know, like, how much money do they make on, like, teams betting over-unders on NFL teams before the year?
I think it's a lot, because people can't do it anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing is, like,
I mean,
if you...
doesn't your wife do that every time she's there?
Yeah, and the thing is, like, local bookies, if you have one, which I would never in my life do something so illegal, but hypothetically, if you did... You usually can't bet, like, the futures bet with Vinny. You know, you can bet that week's games, and you could do parlays and all kinds of stuff, but you can't call
right.
Vinny in like, now and be like, Vinny, I want to bet 4 units on the Saints +9.5 for the 2018 season. You know? At least in a hypothetical situation that I was knowledgeable of. when do you think, Dave, that gambling will be ubiquitous and you as a Saints fan you'll be able to make bets in Louisiana on football? 3 years, 5 years, never? Hello? Dave?
No brainer. You know, same thing with legalization of marijuana. You know, Louisiana, any state that's as poor off financially should be totally gung-ho about both of those, both gambling and marijuana, and getting the tax revenue off of that.
I agree.
So, but I mean, unfortunately, Louisiana is obviously, we're very slow to catch on to these things and to adopt these things and to wise up. So, you know, the optimist in me would like to say 2 years. And, you know, once it's passed, I think, we're already ready to go. We've got Harrah's. I mean, Harrah's I'm sure they would love to put a sports book in there. Realistically, maybe five, you know, maybe after a bunch of other states start doing it. But I mean, you know, like Mississippi, they have, what's that place next to Olive Branch, Mississippi, right up there just below Tennessee?
Tunica?
Yeah, yeah. They've got a whole bunch of big casinos out there. You know, even Mississippi, they're smart enough to figure it out and to do it. So who knows? Maybe it won't take that long, but.
Well, Mississippi's already got the bill. They passed it in January. So, and I read today, like, they want to be up and running by football season. So, God bless Mississippi.
They're surprisingly, you know, they're usually last. Usually Louisiana's 49th and Mississippi's 50th. And throw Alabama in there too. But on this front, Mississippi is ahead of the curve, surprisingly.
Yeah. The one thing I think that'll speed it along is states and teams and stuff will try to sort of make the sports gambling, like, replace sort of the hotel motel tax as, like, the funding mechanism for stadiums. They'll be like, hey, just pass sports gambling, use this funding of sports gambling to build us the new stadium. It's a win-win for everybody. Like, I think that's going to be part of the puzzle, and that's when it'll start getting passed, because people will say, well, we don't want our team to leave, and we don't want to raise taxes. Let's just build a sports book and let people bet on sports, and that'll fund the teams and everybody will win, you know. I think that's the way it'll go. But the NBA is really out front in this. The NFL hasn't been so much, because, Andrew, you know, like, for the longest time, the NFL was, like, telling the networks, like, don't talk about the lines, don't talk about gambling in the pregame shows. But, like, I guess that'll all change now for this. We've got some Twitter questions for people. This is a gambling question. Andrew, how do you feel about the Saints over under 9.5?
Oh, wins?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Over.
Yeah, I mean, the schedule, though, is tough, but yeah, I would pick the over.
Dave?
Over.
He's got to be healthy, though.
Over.
I asked people to give me random Saints that they loved as children, and people have given me names like Boo Williams, Gil Finnerty, Buford
Jones. Oh, nice. Fumbles Finnerty.
Yeah, Jimmy Spencer, which is totally random. Terry Allen, he played running back the year they won their first playoff game. Andrew, do you have a favorite random Saint that you just love for no reason when you were a child that didn't make
any... Well, if you were terrible and your last name was Buck, I was a big fan of you. I was a big fan of Vince Buck and the corner, and I remember when I was a kid, I called Buddy D. This is after Mike Buck had, like, his only good preseason game of his career. And I called Buddy D. I'm probably, like, 11, less younger, maybe 10. And I call Buddy D, and I'm like,
you're saying you were calling Buddy D when you were 10, 11 years
old? Oh, yeah. Yeah, my parents let me. And so I call him, and it's late. It's, like, 9 at night. You know, I'm a kid. And I call him, and I'm like, did you see that game from Mike Buck? He was amazing. And I told him that Mike Buck, before the end of the year, you know, that he was going to start over Bobby Aver at quarterback. And Buddy D told me that I needed to talk to my parents to get some sense in me. And he told me that he called me a squirrel. and then he hung up on me.
Nice.
I've never heard anybody under the age of 20 call into WWL.
Oh, I used to call Buddy D weekly. Weekly.
Weekly.
That's hilarious.
Dave, your favorite random Saints.
I wasn't a Saints fan when I was a child.
Well, like, since 2000, whenever you've been a fan, like, who's just a random Saints that you liked?
Shit. I don't know. I forget everybody.
A random dude that I really liked on the 2009 team.
I mean, I always liked Pierre Thomas, but he's not random. He was like
Jeff Charleston. From the 2009.
Oh, well, now you can.
Jeff Charleston was just weird.
Now
he was.
You can follow him on Southern Charmed on Bravo.
Yeah, he was weird. He's like a car.
Wait, he's on that?
Yeah, well, you guys don't. You're going to have to start giving me like 10 minutes on every
Wait,
podcast.
Wait, is that the Charleston one?
No, it's in New Orleans.
No.
Oh my God. Oh, he's on that one.
That gives me
Has that started to... yet?
Yes. You guys haven't been watching it?
No.
No. Is it good?
No, it's terrible.
That's terrible.
Fucking horrible.
You know who I mean, Aaron Stecker. How could you not love that guy?
Yeah.
You remember him, Dave, right?
I do remember Aaron Stecker.
He was kind of an obscure Saints favorite.
Yeah, I mean.
Because he always did very well when Reggie Bush was injured, and everybody said, let's just get rid of Reggie Bush and roll with Aaron Stecker.
Aaron Stecker.
See, the offense is better without Reggie Bush.
Does Benny Thompson count as obscure?
Yeah, because he was a special teams dude. Another random guy that I liked as a kid, he was good, but he did a lot of cocaine, was Reggie Sutton. He was a really promising young corner. He blocked kicks on special teams and stuff, but he did a lot of coke. Like Scarface levels of cocaine. And it didn't help his playing career. Let me see if
someone on the tweet said Scott Slutsker, the tight end.
Oh, he was terrible.
That was digging
Quinn
deep.
Quinn Early, man. Hobie Brenner. I feel
those are not obscure. You can't pick a Saints Hall of Famer.
Floyd Turner was pretty obscure, I think.
Yeah, Fabulous Floyd. That's pretty good.
Let's see. Frank
Warren. I'm a little disappointed no one said Kevin Hauser.
Oh. Tax credit man.
No count.
That'll wrap it up for tonight. Oh, Andrew, you forgot to remind me again. People, you got to go to the YouTube channel and search Saints Happy Hour Podcast, Facebook, the Twitters. And if you listen on to us on iTunes, we only have like 70 reviews. Review us and give us 5 stars, goddammit. We don't deserve it, but you should give it to us anyway. 5 stars. That's all we ask. Just go in there if you listen through iTunes and give us the 5-star review. We don't deserve
it. We'll take 4.
Well, no.
I mean, 5 would be cool.
Yeah.
But so, for, I mean, yeah.
We'll so, anyway, that wraps it up. You know, we're going to come up with some fun topics. Me and Andrew will do another tournament. We're running out of things, though, Andrew, right? We did, like, worst quarterback, most hated
No, sing. No tournaments. No tournaments. Do something else. Get out of the tournament.
Well, I don't hear you workshopping ideas, Dave.
Yeah.
Workshop.
Yeah, because Dave, unlike me and Andrew, Dave actually works all day.
Yeah, I do.
Dave's got
I like how I'm getting. I like how I'm getting like made fun of for that.
Yeah, you're following college girls on Instagram to get ideas of merch to sell to people.
Well, that's actually very accurate.
So that'll wrap it up for tonight. So for Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.